My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
My wife, girlfriend at the time, woke up screaming and thrashing in bed next to me, jolting me from a peaceful slumber. I looked at the time. A glowing 3:12 a.m. glared back at me. I sighed internally, even as I tried to be outwardly comforting. This was really getting bad. "Same dream again?" I asked quietly. I already knew what the answer would be. Laura nodded as her breathing returned to normal. "They're getting worse, Nick," she sobbed. "Every time they're getting worse. These aren't normal dreams." I tried my best to comfort her, but I really didn't know what to do or say at that point. It was getting bad, and Laura was starting to deteriorate from the sleep disruptions. I too was suffering from it, albeit to a much lesser extent. But I guess I should back up a bit more before I go any further and explain the situation pertaining to these night terrors. Laura has heterochromia. For those who don't know, that means two different coloured eyes. In Laura's case, one eye was brown and the other a brilliant green. It was probably my favourite thing about her appearance at first, but it was a source of endless suffering and anguish for her. You see, she was absolutely convinced that the green eye was not hers. Her dislike for a divergent eye was apparent from the time we first met. I had noticed it almost right away, but had refrained from bringing it up. It was probably the first talking point every guy used to break the ice, and I had wanted to avoid spouting generic talking points just this once. She seemed awesome, and I didn't want to screw this up. Turned out, she was awesome. In fact, she was so awesome, and our chemistry so seamless, that her eyes didn't come up for much of the night. But inevitably, I said something about it as the night winded down. "I thought this would be one of the few times someone didn't bring it up," she sighed as she looked away. Damn, had I really ruined things with such an innocuous comment? Alarms were going off in my head as I apologized, assuring her that I hadn't meant anything bad by it. "I know you didn't," she turned to face me again. "It's just, well, I don't like to talk about it, okay?" I quickly replied in the affirmative, silently thanking God that I hadn't ruined things. I figured that would be the end of it, that she was just self-conscious about it for some reason. If only it had been that simple. Our next couple of dates were perfectly normal. I didn't say anything about her eyes, and did my best not to stare. But when the day of our third date came, she cancelled. She had a horrible, piercing headache that day, she said. A perfectly understandable reason to cancel any social plans. I thought it was odd that she seemed almost apologetic for having a headache and assured her that it was fine. But this was not a singular occurrence. It was a couple of weeks after that, the two of us relaxing in a living room, that another headache struck. She was perfectly fine one moment and hissing in pain and clutching her head the next. "Ice pack, please," was all she could muster. She pressed the ice pack against the right side of her face, over the top of her green eye. At this point, I wasn't sure if I should stay or go, and I asked. She told me that it may not last long this time, and that I should stick around for a bit if I wanted to. Sure enough, this particular headache subsided after just a few minutes, but other times they didn't. As the weeks went by, it became apparent that she suffered from recurring localized headaches, always in the region of her green eye. One night, she broke down and told me of the horrible blinding headaches that had plagued her since her teenage years. She told me of the searing, throbbing pain, of the lack of discernible medical cause, that she had tried virtually every applicable over-the-counter medicine and even a couple of prescription drugs after begging doctors for relief, all to no avail. Doctors had come to the conclusion that the headaches were psychosomatic. She told me she was at her wit's end, that she couldn't take this pain anymore and that she didn't know what to do. I sympathized with her. I really did. I'd never dealt with recurring headaches or migraines, but as someone who has had TMJ, I knew what it was like to suffer from serious pain that no one took seriously. And my pain had a diagnosable cause and had been treatable. I could scarcely imagine unflagging pain with no reprieve in sight. I asked her if she had any ideas or theories about the pains. We all self-diagnose to an extent after all. She had more than a theory. She was certain of the root cause. Her green eye. True to her wishes, I hadn't said anything about her eye since that first meeting, but it was her who breached the topic this time. I think she was just happy to have an open ear listening, and we had built quite a rapport by then. She told me everything that night, of the headaches and of the reoccurring dreams, at first just harmless and scenic visions, but now horrible and frightening. "I don't like to talk about my heterochromia," she began, "and it's not because I'm self-conscious about the look or anything like that. But ever since I was a kid, I've had a persistent feeling that my green eye isn't mine." I didn't want to be skeptical or an asshole as she opened up about her problems, but my quizzical look betrayed my reaction anyway. "It sounds weird, I know, but you haven't had the visions and dreams I've had," Laura continued. I asked if she thought the dreams were connected to the headaches. "I'm sure of it," Laura nodded. "They happen close together usually." She had my attention, and she continued. "When I was a kid, I had initially benign dreams of walking in the forest. When I had those dreams, my good eye was closed. I would only ever, and still do only, see with my green eye during these dreams. There has to be a connection. There has to be," she said with conviction. "But the dreams got worse?" I asked, genuinely concerned now. At this point, I still thought there was a plausible explanation for this condition, but I was nevertheless concerned. "Yes, much worse. Eventually, I made it further and further to the forest. By the time I was in high school, I could hear furious buzzing emanating from deep within the woods, but I would always wake up before I found the source. Not long after the buzzing became a part of the dreams, the headache started. They too have gotten worse with time." At this point, I had nothing to say, but was fully captivated. She continued. "As inevitable as that was, it's gotten remarkably worse over time. I still haven't found the source of the buzzing, but I've been getting very close lately. I can sense it, but as I get closer to the source, the headaches get worse. But that's no longer the worst part. The buzzing isn't the only sound anymore. They're calling out to me in some unintelligible language. Even worse, lately, I've been calling back in that same unknown tongue." Do you know what you're hearing or saying in the dreams?" I was getting really alarmed now. Something was very wrong. This was not normal. I was worried for her. Some dormant part of me must, but the active, incognizant part of me has no idea. I don't know if I want to know or need to know. I don't know if the key to beating this is finding the truth behind this all, but I have to try to figure this out. How can we figure this out? I hadn't meant to frame it as our problem. I guess we were closer than I realized. She seemed to briefly smile at that, but kept laser focused on the topic at hand. By going to the forest, she said firmly. I'll admit, I was apprehensive about that. Hell, how did she even know what this forest was? How uncanny were these dreams and visions? I understand this is a lot to spring on you. You don't have to make a decision right away. But please, think about it. I could see a pleading look as she said this last bit. She had put her faith and trust in me. I knew then that I was going to acquiesce to this crazy expedition, but I still needed some time to process everything. But this proposed search was given a giant push closer to actuality that night when we slept together for the first time. Her thrashing and screaming nightmares were obviously highly distressing and almost certainly the reason it took so long for us to share a bed overnight. Something needed to be done to address this, and barring conventional treatment, a harmless trip into the wilderness may be the best course of action. If it truly was all in her head, then maybe this journey would alleviate her condition, a sort of placebo, if you will. One night, not long after, when I had come around to the idea and we had yet to make definitive plans for the trip, a drastic call to action was issued in the form of the worst dream yet. Oh my God, Nick, Laura said through tears. I remember what they were saying this time. It's getting so much worse. We have to go as soon as we can. I wearily nodded my assent and gingerly asked what they were saying. Join us, Laura said fearfully. They were telling me to join them. We wasted little time making haste for the trip after that nightmare. It was fortunate we both had flexible work schedules. We were able to pack up some camping and backpacking gear and head out the very next week. I thought a forest would be an awfully scant hint to pursue, but evidently it wasn't. With certainty that unsettles me to this day, Laura provided flawless directions without hesitation. Before I knew it, we had arrived at a dense state forest two states over. How did you... I started to ask, more than a little unnerved by this point. I just know, okay? I decided not to push the issue any further. This was probably even more distressing for her than me. Besides, I had nothing to fear. At this point, I believed it was all in her head, and that nothing more than a peaceful and scenic camping trip awaited. Once again, Laura took the lead. She walked with an uncanny clairvoyance that could have only been gained from repeated excursions into these woods. I had to admit, it was getting harder to maintain my skepticism. As we walked, Laura pointed out trees, trails, and landmarks that she had seen in her dreams. With unfailing and unnerving direction, we covered several miles before finally stopping for the night. After setting up camp, we both collapsed in the tent in a state of exhaustion. I had planned to sit outside for a bit and enjoy the sounds of night, but I no longer had it in me. Instead, I drifted off into a sound sleep. At least, until I was disturbed by sounds. Somewhere deeper in the woods, a buzzing sound was permeating through the air. Damn, maybe these dreams were more than just dreams after all. As I started to get used to the buzzing, I made a horrifying discovery. The tent was wide open, and Laura was gone. Damn, I said aloud. Had she gone off in search of the source on her own, in the middle of the night? Had she started sleepwalking, or had she been taken? I hurriedly put on my shoes, grabbed my flashlight, and stepped out into the slightly chilly night in hopes of finding a trail. I saw what looked like freshly stepped on grass and followed its trail. Laura, I called out. No response. I kept following the trail. I came upon some thick brush that had clearly been disturbed recently. This had to be the trail. It had to be. "Laura?" I shouted again. This time, I received a response. "Nick, over here." I took off running in the direction of the voice, doing my best not to trip or get hung on briars. "Where are you?" I shouted as I kept running. "This way." The voice was closer this time, but still possibly a ways off. As I ignored my burning sides and continued running, I heard a blood-curdling scream. Laura's scream. "Oh my God, help, hurry!" I shouted that I was coming and renewed my spirit. Finally, I stumbled into a large clearing. The first thing that caught my eye was a sort of giant hive, almost like one of those massive termite hives. The second thing I saw was Laura, on the ground, covering a green eye which bled profusely. Damn, she was hurt bad. I was so engrossed in what I saw that I failed to realize that the culprit was likely nearby and that I too was in danger. As this occurred to me, I became painfully aware of the fact that the buzzing was still present at amplified levels. I looked up, the beam of my flashlight illuminating a massive swarm of small creatures. They appeared to be fairies or sprites. They were humanoid with insect-like wings and couldn't have been more than 5 inches tall. Individually, they were probably harmless, but there were hundreds of them. My flashlight set them off. They became frenzied, apoplectic even. They let out a shrill, piercing shriek. I dropped the flashlight in my impulse to cover my ears. Before I could do or say anything though, they were on me, clawing and biting me. It is to this day the worst pain I felt. The venom from their fangs and claws felt like fire, scorching my skin and muscles. It was exponentially more painful than a wasp sting, and I was being repeatedly stung by hundreds of them. I swatted furiously, but it was no use. I collapsed to my knees, too weak to fend them off. Just when all seemed lost, I heard another voice, a human's voice, but in an alien language. Laura was speaking to them in what I can only imagine was the language in her dreams. The horde stopped. They hovered about 20 feet above, not moving anymore. To this day, I don't know what she said. She refuses to say, and I'm not sure I want to know. "We have to go, now," Laura urged as she stumbled to her feet. With considerable effort, I stood all the way up. My left arm, which had apparently taken the brunt of the attack, was swollen and dark red. My vision blurred at the sides as Laura and I supported each other, stumbling slowly through the brush. I struggled to navigate the brush that I had blazed through just minutes earlier. My left arm was completely numb and limp now, hanging uselessly at my side. I would like to say that we made it out of the woods under our own power, but the last memory of those woods I have is collapsing to the ground, my vision fading to black. I woke up in the hospital 3 days later. Apparently, our vehicle lacked the required state park permits and the rangers had looked for us. They found us about a half mile from our tent. Thank God my trail had been so conspicuous. I was lucky to be alive, or so I was told. The combination of exhaustion and the venom had nearly done me in. And speaking of the venom, its potency baffled the hospital staff. They sent samples far and wide, but I highly doubt they found a match. I lost most of the mobility in my left hand from the damage that venom inflicted. I suppose I'm lucky I didn't suffer a more severe impairment. As for Laura, the damage to her green eye was too great to save it. It had to be surgically removed, which was fine by her. She has a glass eye now. A glass eye that, at a steadfast insistence, is brown. As for what happened to her that night, she had indeed sleepwalked, only waking up at the clearing. We don't talk about this much, but recently, I've been thinking about it more often. You see, we've been trying for a child for the past few months, and we finally conceived last month. I pray to God that both our children's eyes are the same color.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chain to the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.